Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City, baby. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's how this whole thing works. Listen, you just got done with the holidays. That's right. Well, you didn't get done with them. You are full on into the holiday season. Thanksgiving's over. You got over the hump. You got through talking to Mama Bear about your the guy that you're seeing, but you're not with, but you kind of fuck. And you don't want to have to tell her that. You know, you got through it. You did it. Give yourself a pat on the back. You did it. You got through your dad going, any guys in your life? And then you go, come on, Dad. You got through that. You ate the stuffing, you had the turkey, did the cranberries, you had Aunt Florence looking at you going, are you going to get married? You got through it. We're in it. It's December, baby. It's time to give the gift of J Train. Tell a friend, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. Tell everyone about this show. We're doing it every Tuesday and Friday. I got some dates coming up. If you are in Los Angeles, that's right, LA, La La Land, we're there tonight for the Live You Up. Tomorrow, we are in San Francisco. Then we go to Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, Phoenix, Austin, Dallas, Houston. If you're in any of those cities, get the group together. It's holiday time. It's the month where we drink every night. We go out every night. We meet new people. Get out of the rut. You can sit inside all January, February. It's time to get out there. The weather outside is frightful, but the J Train's delightful. You're gonna need some dating tips. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Go to the U Up Live. Other than that, my stand-up, Springfield, Mass., that's December 26th through the 28th. I'm in Springfield, Mass. January 2nd through 5th, Naples, Florida. January 17th through 18th, Salt Lake City, Utah. February, Nashville, San Diego. And then that's it. So jaredfried.com, jaredfried.com. Very excited about today's guest. An OKP. We're taping, you know, I'm getting ahead because we're going to be traveling so much over the next few weeks. So got to get this OKP in, especially during the holiday shopping rush. Friend of the pod, Kyle Bergman, the creator of the great, fantastic Swovey Nation is in the house. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be back. How you doing?
I'm good. Everything's good. You're wearing the Swoveralls. We'll take a picture. For those that don't know, Kyle and I got connected through my brother. He is an entrepreneur. He created a business called The Great Fantastic, and they created something called the Swoveralls. Explain to the listeners that are new here, because when was the last time you were on?
It was pre-Shark Tank, I think. Pre-ST.
Pre-ST. PST.
PST.
So Kyle was on Shark Tank. Yeah. And I, you know, what's funny about how the world works, like, I remember the first time you came on the show, I was like, oh, let me connect you with my friends, Nick and Elise.
Yep.
They had been on Shark Tank and for Bantam Bagels, and they had gotten a deal, and that kind of, you know, change their business for what it is now. Now they're on all the Starbucks. But it's so funny because I remember connecting you guys and then, like, who knows? You know, I don't sit there. I think the worst type of people that connect people are the ones that, like, ask 700 times.
Yeah.
It's like the person that brings food to your dinner party and then asks if you tried the food. Like, yeah, we know you made it. We get it. Like, we don't need that. But you guys, I had totally even forgotten about that. Then you're going back. Then you're like, you told me, you're like, I'm going on Shark Tank. And then I'm like, wait a minute. You have the best asset in the world because they can give you the hits and tricks.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, when the opportunity to be on Shark Tank fell on my plate and then you introducing me to Nick was amazing. because they told me this is what happens. This is actually what happens.
They give you the whole behind the scenes thing, the things you don't know. Like, I watch from home and I'm like, get him, Kevin. And then they're like doing Kevin's makeup, you know, like during the commercial.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, I didn't say that to thank me. I'm telling that for the listeners to know how much of a godsend I am.
Yes, not, you're the connector of connectors.
That's right. Putting hands to palms to palms. So, but I'm pumped to have you back. We're gonna have pictures on my Instagram of the swoveralls. I want people to see them. It's the most comfortable leisure wear you could wear. It is a hybrid of sweatpants and overalls.
Exactly. You nailed it. The comfiest thing you never knew you needed. Swoveralls are the glorious combination of sweatpants and overalls into one beautiful masterpiece.
You know, I love the you never knew you needed, because this is something that you wouldn't buy for yourself. That's why, if you're listening right now, maybe you buy it for yourself. I don't want to take people out of that game, but I do think this is the perfect gift. If you're in the market, you're like, I got a dude in my life who's a dude, sits around, eats food, breathes air. He's going to love the Great Fantastic. He's going to love the swoveralls. And I got them right in front of me. They're new and improved. You're always improving.
Always.
Always.
Always in beta. Always in beta.
I mean, these are beautiful. And now you're teaching entrepreneurship at a college. You're a guest professor. How does that work?
It's crazy. I'm an adjunct professor at St. Francis College in downtown Brooklyn. I'm teaching a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds.
I mean, does Shark Tank, is that like a resume item that gets you that position, or is it because the company's done well? Like, what gets you in the door there?
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. Being on Shark Tank certainly didn't hurt. I was working out of an accelerator out at in Williamsburg.
Explain an accelerator to the listeners; they might not know.
Thank you. So, like a WeWork for startups that are very small and looking to grow their businesses.
So my understanding of that is someone's like, I own a warehouse. Okay. We need, we'll let you in the warehouse. Give me a percentage of your company. Or are they saying pay rent?
Essentially, give me a percentage of your company. The terms always vary, but I'll let you work in the warehouse, mm-hmm. and I'll introduce you to people that might be able to help build your business.
So that kind of becomes their book of business. Like, exactly. The warehouse is their living, breathing portfolio.
Exactly.
That's very interesting. And I would assume that helps everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to pay for a warehouse in New York City, to be around that type of brain power and motivation, that's huge.
So it's... I mean, the two sides of the coin are, yes, I mean, some of the biggest companies that you've heard of come out of these types of accelerators,
mm-hmm.
but those are unicorns.
Yeah.
You're also kind of bankrolling companies that might never get off the ground.
Of course.
And then your warehouse.
This is a high risk type of environment.
Exactly.
But that's why motivated people are coming in there. No one's coming in there because they're not motivated.
Yeah.
Are people hooking up in that environment?
I think
don't have to say specifically, but I'm saying I would think you got some hotshot people in there, highly educated. They got some you know, something to burn. They got to burn some energy at some point.
Absolutely. I think like any holiday party.
Yeah.
Like, no holds barred.
It's going down.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think this is like the place for a TV show. This is a place for a reality show.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, that all would work there. But that is, I mean, I like bringing you on the show because I think that, you know, the listeners, we don't have a lot of internet commenter listeners. We have get up and go people going and doing stuff. They're not ones that are going to make me, you know, some podcasts, you know, there's a lot of podcasts I listen to where like every week a new listener is making them artwork of the of what they look like. And I'm like, that ain't going to be the J Train podcast listeners. These guys are out at night doing shit. They have their own lives. We're involved in their commute at some point or their gym workout, you know. So I want everyone to get involved with the Great Fantastic. The swoveralls are, I mean, I'm wearing them right now. They're fucking comfortable. They're the best things to wear on the couch, the best things to wear around the holidays. Your dad, your brother, your boyfriend, your girlfriend.
Absolutely. I mean, 60% of our sales are actually female.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, this is a very female, you know, laden audience. So we're going to give you guys a deal. We're going to give you 19% off. That's 19% off if you use promo code JTRAIN19. All of this will be in the description of the episode, but JTRAIN19 gets you 19% off the Swoveralls, and go to @Swoveral_ on Instagram. What's the website?
Swoveralls.com.
Swoveralls.com. And let's do some show. But you, we also have, you came on this show, and one of my favorite listeners,
yes,
Maddie Poppy, winner of American Idol.
Great story.
She, like, bought in first. She was like, I think these are the greatest. And I always see her wearing the Swoveralls on Instagram. And I'm like, look at that. That's another connection. So you guys now keep in touch.
We keep in touch. Maddie, oh, wow. I have an amazing story to tell you. She was in town recently.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
well, she actually, I was walking by Webster Hall down in the East Village, and I saw Ingrid Michaelson.
Okay.
Was playing at Webster Hall, and I knew that Maddie was touring with Ingrid.
Gotcha.
She's opening for her. And so I DM'd Maddie and said, hey, are you in town?
Mm.
And she said, oh, my God, yes. You should come to my show.
Holy shit.
So she got me tickets. She got my girlfriend and I tickets, and we went, and we're watching her open for Ingrid. She's crushing it. She plays a few songs, and then she says, hey, I just want everyone to know, there's like 2,000 people in Webster Hall right now. The place is packed. Hey, there's a very special man in the audience.
No fucking way.
And he's standing right over there, and she points to me, and this light shines down. This man invented the greatest thing ever.
No.
Kyle Bergman invented sweatpant overalls. They're called Swoveralls. Everyone starts looking at me.
No way. Yeah, you should have had them on you so you could hold them up.
I was wearing them. I'm always wearing them. It's free advertising. It was insane. Maddie.
Who's that homeless guy?
It's crazy.
You're wearing him at the concert?
Yeah,
That's hilarious.
Who's that guy who looks like Mario with the mustache?
I love it.
Yeah, Maddie's incredible. Every chance I get to pump her tires and promote her, I just started teaching at Flywheel.
Okay.
Yesterday, we're in a class. I'm playing like Dylan Francis, heavy EDM beat drops.
Sure.
The next song that comes on, A Postcard From Me by Maddie Poppy.
Love it.
We're riding to it. Maddie's probably doesn't know this. This will be the first time she hears it, but an amazing supporter of the brand. I love that girl.
I mean, if you don't know the story, Maddie was with her mom at a show at a comedy club in New York. We met, and after the show, and she tells me she's a musician. She's like this, you know, I think she was probably 18, 19 years old at the time. A couple years go by, she starts listening to the podcast. She's messaged me a few times, and then she messages me saying, I'm going to be on American Idol. Do you mind, like, helping me out, you know, not even that. Like, hey, if you could, you know, give a shout out or whatever. I was like, of course. She ends up winning American Idol. Like, it's fucking crazy. And she's so talented, so amazing. And then she came back to New York. She came to a show of mine and couldn't be nicer, better. So everyone, if you listen to this podcast, go support Kyle, but also support Maddie, because she's a fantastic artist. And it's, you know, what I like is that everyone's doing stuff. Like, you're hustling, she's hustling, I am. You know, I like people pursuing. So we're happy to have you on. @Swoveralls_ Go, go, go. I need you right now. @Swoveralls.com. JTRAIN19. Here's your free money. 19% off. I mean, you're a professor now.
Professor Kyle, yeah. The JTRAIN19 will also work on Amazon. We're on Amazon too.
There we go.
So Amazon, Swoveralls.com, whatever fits your fancy.
What is if there's an entrepreneur out there, someone who wants to be an entrepreneur, what's the number one piece of advice? Like, what's the one thing that you're like, what's your, like, you know, I know that's like a really wide question, but is there something that, you know, you can encourage someone if they're like, they want to start a business?
Yeah. Before I answer this, I just want to also note one of the reasons I love coming on here.
Mm.
Every time after an episode airs, I get people that reach out asking me questions about business-related stuff. And I told you, it's a motivated audience.
And, you know, I think everyone here wants, you know, we answer mostly relationship questions, but I think when people are asking relationship questions, they're talking about bettering themselves or bettering their, you know, how to bettering their home place at the moment. So I do appreciate that. And I just know, because when I meet these people, no one's like a fucking bum. You know, no one who listens to this show is just like, oh, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, they're out there. They're looking to do stuff.
And yeah, so I, like, my email, kyle@thegreatfantastic.co. You can also DM me. I handle the Instagram account. You can reach out to Jared. He'll put you in touch with me. If you have any questions about anything about how to start an e-commerce apparel business, I'm an open book, and I'd love to share everything.
Love it. But hold on. Now you just reminded me. Didn't you go to a thing where Mark Cuban was at?
Yeah, so I graduated from NYU Business School last year, and Mark came and spoke there.
Okay.
This was prior to my episode airing on Shark Tank.
This is, I remember we couldn't talk about this last
time.
Yeah,
we couldn't talk about it. And because at that point, I didn't know if my episode was ever going to air.
Mm-hmm.
And we could talk about the complexities and stress related to Shark Tank and getting on there.
Well, Shark Tank, getting on doesn't mean you get on.
Right.
They bring you in, you tape a segment, you don't even, and then you don't know if it's ever going to air.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's stressful in itself. You're going from, I'm either going to have the biggest day of online sales or no day of online sales.
Exactly. And so I was introduced through a friend to one of the casting producers.
Okay.
There's three ways you get on Shark Tank. You either apply online, you audition in person, or like most things in life, you know someone who knows someone.
There you go.
I met this casting producer. He got me to the front of the line. He introduced me to producers that help kind of create the show.
Mm-hmm.
And this all
You also have a fun product.
Yeah.
That, like, on TV, like, my producer eye, I'm like, yeah, I want to know more.
Exactly.
You are a good-looking guy, young, you know, energetic. Like, you know, that's the type of person they want on the show. They don't want a dud. Well, no one wants to work with a dud. No one wants to date a dud. If we're going to give a name to this episode, don't be a dud. Because but that matters. You're out there shaking hands. You're meeting Maddie Poppy. You're going on, you got the assistant, you know, casting director. You know, you're out there. That's part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And you got to play in traffic if you want to get hit.
But to your point, I will tell you that there is a strategy. The producers also will put a dud on the show because they're like, oh, the Sharks are going to tear this person apart.
Oh.
So if you've ever seen an episode where you're like, this person is...
Had no shot.
Yeah, they... I
just saw one the other day. The peanut butter guy.
I haven't seen that one.
So they got a guy. I thought it was a great product, but they didn't give the guy a fucking chance.
Really? Yeah.
He came on. He was like, yeah, I'm an inventor, and I made this peanut butter pump because I was tired of having to put the knife in the peanut butter jar. And I was like, this is a great idea. And all of them, like the minute... If you go watch a segment, you're like, oh, they are like not really respecting this guy.
Yeah.
You could kind of feel it. So what happened with Cuban?
So Cuban, all the Sharks were really respectful and cool during the episode and the taping of the segment. And a few months go by. So I walk off the set from filming.
Mm-hmm.
I spent about 30 minutes in front of the Sharks.
Don't get a deal.
I don't get
Spoiler
a deal.
Spoiler alert.
I don't get a deal. I don't even get an offer. And part of what doesn't show in the edit is that the Sharks were like, wait, you've done all of this on your own and you just graduated from business school and you were a buyer at Bloomingdale's. It's not clear why you need one of us. You're doing a great job. Like, keep going.
Yeah. Sometimes the advice, which is very interesting to that, is they're like, you're making money.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need us? And, you know, the reason for them is introductions and also bankroll.
Exactly.
You know, so But I do understand where they're like, hey, you're self-sufficient. The boat's out to sea. You know, keep making $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know, they say that to a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was an amazing experience. I walked off the set. The producers go, great job. You made good TV. We'll let you know if it airs. It might never air. And fast forward, 6 months go by. It's the beginning of April 2019. Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, Kyle, great news. Your episode's airing in 2 weeks.
No fucking way.
I had no inventory.
Oh, no.
And so you hear about like Scrub Daddy, Squatty Potty, these companies that made $1 million in a day from airing. That wasn't the Great Fantastic because we could only offer pre-order on our site. So we had 100,000 people come to my site within 3 days of airing. And they're seeing, hey, if you order them now, you'll get them in 6 to 8 weeks.
And no one wants to hear that. I mean, I've, you know, you see that and you go, Do I really want this? Hey, here's the thing with, you know, purchasing anything. You know, we're all, and I talk about this with some of the sponsorship stuff. We deal with FabFitFun.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's a, you know, is a little bit of a, you have to get over the hump to spend money.
Yeah.
You have to go, you know, the minute someone says to me, yeah, it's going to take 6 weeks, I go, do I need to do this now? Now my motivation is kind of lacking.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, but you had to have done well. It has to have been of good.
Oh, it was, I mean, we still did, there were hundreds of people that were still like $95 for sweatpant overalls, but I have to wait 2 months. I'm in.
Yeah, game
Sign
over.
Me up.
Yeah, let's do it.
And it also helped that it was April and it was starting to get warmer. And although they're like a non-seasonal product, people were like, I can wait a little bit.
I think we're right. If you're listening right now, you're going to look at these and go, I need these while I'm under the Christmas tree or under the Hanukkah bush. And I need these on my body.
And now, for the first time in the 2 years since this business started, in peak Swovey season.
Yes.
We have stock in all colors and sizes.
Every color and size. That's right. Swoveralls.com. So tell the Cuban story real quick.
Yeah, yeah. So Cubes comes to NYU and he was invited by a professor there and he's speaking to an auditorium of like 500 people. And at the end of his speaking engagement, they let people ask him questions. I knew I had a heads up from a friend that he was coming.
Mm.
Mark Cuban went to Indiana.
Yep.
He's a huge fan of a Hoosier fan.
Yep.
When I was on Shark Tank, he mentioned, oh, I used to wear overalls all the time in college. I would put my little Mickey flask right here.
Yeah. Like,
they were great. I'd go to basketball games. And so knowing I was going to see him, I got a maroon pair of Swoveralls embroidered with the IU logo on the front.
Oh, shit.
And I ask him a question. I get up in this auditorium in front of Mark Cuban, and I say, hey, Mark, I don't know if you remember me, but I had the opportunity to pitch my company to you a few months back. And he just looked at me like, like he had never seen me before.
Of course. I mean, how many people is he getting pitched by a minute? Yeah.
Exactly. And I say, my only question to you is, will you accept this pair of Indiana Hoosier Swoveralls? And he's like, yeah. And so I went down, I shook his hand, I gave him to him, and it was a little bit of a moment. I also gave him my investor deck right there, and I was like,
boom.
Yeah. And then I have his email, mcuban@gmail.com.
Well, he checks his email.
Yeah,
anyone can email it.
mcuban@gmail.com. He'll respond.
He responds. Yeah. Did he respond to you?
Yeah.
So you wrote him, hey, met you yesterday, just want to follow up.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy the pants. And he wrote back?
He wrote back. He said, I'm still not interested.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, look, Kyle, you don't need outside investment.
He wrote this much?
Yeah.
How much? I mean, I would expect, like, because I know about the email. I know that anyone can email him. And I know he does get back to people. I thought it was just like a smiley face or a heart. So I mean, you should frame this email.
I know. This is what he said.
Let's hear what he said.
I wrote a saga to him.
Well, to me that's a mistake. But
I totally agree. Totally agree. He said.
But this is like, you know, to kind of bring this back to the podcast, why people listen. You know, there's a lot of people. I hear this from women a lot. They're like, well, I don't want to be too aggressive. There's this thing of like, I don't want to be too aggressive, and then there's this other thing of like, I'm the one. I just call it how it is, and it's like there's a middle to that stuff. There's a nuanced way to go about it. Going to the event that's already planned. You're not running up to Mark Cuban in the street and going, take my fucking pants. You know, like you're not doing that. You know, to me that's the equivalent of the girl going, well, I just say it how it is, and it's like, you know, guy or girl, but I'm putting this in female terms because the women seem to like. That write in. I'm going by the emails that I get. It'll be. I don't want to be too aggressive, or the other side of the dial, which is, I don't want to be. I'm the aggressive one. If you don't like it, get the fuck out. And it's like that. The equivalent of that. The get the fuck out. I'm the aggressive one. Is going up to him in the street and hunting him down. The I don't want to be too much is not showing up to the event he's planned to be at.
Yeah.
The perfect thing is going up to him respectfully during the thing and going, hey, I want to give these to you as a gift, and here's my investor deck, and he can politely decline, and which is what he did. But I think it's something that speaks to what a lot of people are going through, where it's like, hey, I don't want to be too much, but I don't want to be nothing. And it's like, you know the way to go about it. You know what a jury of your peers would look at you and go, that's not crazy at all. So what did he write back?
So I like the Reader's Digest version of what I wrote him was, thank you so much for accepting the pair of swoveralls.
Sure.
Here are my sales, yada, yada. He responds and says, I will wear them and see if I change my mind. But the reality is it's a very simple e-commerce play. They either sell or they don't. You either get a return on your ad dollars or they don't. You shouldn't need outside investment, comma, Kyle. That's it. And it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so to the point.
But
no
that's
bullshit.
That's all you want.
Exactly,
you know, yeah. You know, the thing is, you only want more if you don't want to work.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly,
you know, you only want more from that email if you wanted a gift to be given you. You don't want that.
No.
You
no.
go, hey, and I think, you know, I'm trying to connect this to relationships because I think this is all relationship stuff.
Absolutely.
Because if you say to someone, hey, I want to go on a date, and they go, because you want to go on a date, and then they go, hey, I don't know, I got busy this week, I'm busy, and then you go, no problem, let me know when you're ready. Yeah, I need to get to the date. Like, it's not you, I'll find someone else who's good enough to go with me.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let's do some emails. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's
Swoveralls.com. We're getting the emails late. Let me start. Let's pay our rent. We're sponsored people. The J Train podcast is sponsored by Upstart. Most of us find out the hard way getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, a revolutionary lending program that knows you're more than just your credit score. I mean, this must speak to you a little bit. You have to get loans. You have to go try and get money. People look at your credit score. Your credit score isn't really the whole story of you.
No,
and
no.
That's where Upstart come in. Upstart interest rate is based on your education and job history, not your credit score. Upstart doesn't care about the bills you didn't pay 5 years ago. They care about the person you are now and give you a rate based on that. Plus, they make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. That's huge. Best part, once the loan is approved, most people get their funds the very next business day, the next day. Over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their weddings, or to make large purchases. With Upstart, you can free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment. This is huge. I mean,
I love this. I'm going to check it out. I'm using this code.
You're a professor of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
What holds people back more than a high-interest, you know, credit card debt? That's the number one thing to hold you back. If you can lower that interest, you're fucking winning. So Upstart's going to help you do that. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. Hurry to upstart.com/JTrain. Upstart.com/JTrain. Upstart.com/JTrain to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Check your rate. Only take a few minutes, and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/JTrain. Love that sponsor. Professor needs to attend Dr. JT's office hours for dating 101. I picked this because I'm with the professor right now.
I love it.
Huge fan of the podcast, Feather. I never pass up a chance to spread your gospel and tag a bitch. Thank you. After spending my whole life in the Northeast, I moved to Colorado by myself this summer to start a job as a college professor. I've gotten involved with the community, have made some friends, love my job. My dating inevitably comes up whenever I talk to my family and friends back home or even my older coworkers here. I'm happy living on my own life right now, but all of that, the questioning does make me a little anxious about everything getting back into about eventually getting back into dating. I'm 29. I went straight from college to grad school to a postdoc, grad school 2.0. So my friends and my boyfriends have always been part of the some kind of university-affiliated cohort, small groups of similarly aged people with fairly similar interests and career paths. It made things really easy, but now that I'm a part of the quote-unquote real world, I feel socially stunted. This feels like a crazy question to ask, but how do women in their late 20s, early 30s meet single men? I should add that I really do not want to use dating apps where my students might be able to find my profile. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but as a young female professor, that just feels like putting too much of my personal life on display. Sorry for the long email. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. So what do we think?
Oh, man.
I mean, you've met new people. You are involved with so many different things. Is all your social dependent on your work and all the hustles you got going on?
No, it's not. I mean, it's I think it's really important to have a balance for one's own sanity to be able to step away from all of that. I mean, moving to Colorado to teach higher education, it just seems like a breeding ground to find someone that you're compatible with, but on your own terms and at your own time. I don't know if, I mean, I hope his classes that he teaches are...
This is a woman.
This is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It was a saga.
Yeah, it was a saga. How do women in their late 20s, early 30s meet single men? She moved to Colorado by herself this summer to start a job as a college professor. I understand her problem with the apps. I understand what she's saying. I think she's wrong. I think you can have a dating app profile and not... And, like, listen, kids see their teachers out in the real world. There was nothing weirder growing up than seeing your teacher at, like, CVS.
Oh, man, freaking... You're like, oh, you don't just, like, stay in the classroom?
Yeah, yeah. You have real clothing that's not khakis?
Yeah.
You wear shorts? Like, there's, you know... So I understand... They're more afraid of you than you are of them. It's like with a bumblebee. Like, they see, you know, like, when they see you, they don't want to see you either on the dating app. They're going to look at your profile. They're going to go, let's see what you know, like, but also, this is also a thing of, like, going back to the too much versus not enough. You're not going to make a dating profile that's you in a thong bikini, you know, looking back with your finger in your mouth. That's not going to be, you know, so no student is going to look at your profile and go, like, and, like, be like, oh, my. Like, they're going to go, no, this is a woman who wants to find a man or, you know, whatever she said to the man in her email. So, like, I don't think she should be embarrassed of that. Also, you're in different age brackets. Like, yes, you're going to have a college kid who's like, I'm putting 50 as, like, a fucking whatever. But, like, you're not going to avoid that person. Like, that person's a piece of shit. Everyone knows her. You know, like, I don't think you should be this, like, you don't have to protect yourself more than the kids would. You know, it seems like you're doing a little too much. Plus, you're in a new city. Like, make a dating profile. Get on one of the apps. Go on Hinge. Make your parameters. You don't have to see them. Make your parameters like 28 to 40. And, you know, browse through that. I would also say to her, dig into the group of friends that you're making in the new town. Go out together. Plan an event. Everyone has a couple friends in their town. You might be new to Colorado, but your coworkers aren't.
Join the softball team.
Go
do karaoke night.
Create events with the friends you've made, okay? Because those events that are public are out there. You're going to meet more people that way.
I also love how she's doing her right now. She's like, I'm not really that focused on this. And I believe in my relationship history, I've always had success when I'm not thinking about it 24/7 or constantly looking. It's like fishing to a degree. You keep pulling on the line.
Yeah.
So just, she's, you know.
It's like when you have ideas. They happen in the shower.
Exactly.
While you're doing something else, while you're cleaning your body. It's the same thing with relationships. They usually happen while you're doing something else, while you're busy with something else. So if you're hanging out with friends, if you're interested in, you know, if I'm her, ski weekend. Go to a fun place with some of the other professors.
Yeah, the lodge.
Are you opera ski? Are you kidding me? What's a better week? You're gonna see groups of guys. You're gonna meet group, and then your group is gonna have other groups. They're gonna, you know, go with other fun people to do fun things. Also, you might go. Her response, if your rebuttal is, "Well, they're all married," well, all their husbands have friends, so. Yeah. That's another way. If you want to, you could stay in the negativity zone, but I can find a positive for every negative you'd bring up. But I think, like, digging into that group of people that you're meeting there, also sometimes the answers are in the email. Something she said that's very specific. I moved, and now all these questions are coming about, you know, who cares? Yeah, I'm single. I'm having fun. That's all you got to say.
The other thing, and I'm kind of speculating here, but Colorado, the people that live there, for the most part, I believe, have such an active lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you live in New York City, you go to the bar, you go to, like,
sure,
and you find someone there. In Colorado, I feel like people just go on a hike and you meet someone.
They're definitely a more active group. Also, like, it's it's still football Saturdays. Go to a football Saturday at an alumni bar, hang out where, you know, you're University of Colorado, maybe. I don't know where you are, but like wherever college you are, let's do a football Saturday with some of the professors. That's fun. Go to a bar that's the alumni bar.
I love it.
And then they go, the people come back and they go, or they, you know, they go out to watch the game. Hey, did you go to college? No, I'm actually a professor of the school and I just moved here from the Northeast. You have a story that's interesting right away. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Kyle Bergman, friend of the pod. Swoveralls. Swoveralls.com at Swoveralls _ JTrain19 for that 19% off. Reaching out to an ex over the holidays. Huge fan of both of your pods, and I drove 3 hours to see you for one of your U Up shows. No big deal. Love it. My ex-boyfriend and I dated for almost 3 years, long distance, except in the summers. And so I guess they were together in the summers.
Like a Grease, like a John Travolta.
This is Sandy writing in. And met when we were in college. We were both from the same city, and both of our families live here. I had been out in the real world working for a year in our hometown when he broke up with me. He was a grade younger than me, so he was at the beginning of his senior year of college when he ended things over FaceTime. Ouch. Ooh. It was tough and a little messy after the fact for both of us, but there was never any resentment or anger near the end. Nothing bad happened to prompt the breakup. We were both fatigued from long distance. We tried to be friends right after the breakup, but I had too many feelings for him and had to take myself time for myself. It also helped that we were separated by hundreds of miles. We haven't talked in almost a year, but we still watch each other's stories. I love how important that note is. Hundreds of miles away, we haven't talked in almost a year, but still watch each other's stories. Like, that is the great American 2019 love tale.
I know.
Flash forward a year and a half after the breakup, I've been dating my current boyfriend, who is amazing, for about 4 months. My ex also got into another relationship after we broke up and now lives in a different state. I know he will be home over the holidays, and it has me thinking about this being a realistic time to reach out to him. He has a lot of pride and is very respectful, so I don't think he would ever be the one to reach out to me since he knows how much I was hurt over the breakup. I genuinely miss him as a friend and want to catch up as I think of him from time to time. I hear stories on your pod of people remaining friends with an ex. Is it okay to reach out to an ex that you are on good terms with to catch up over a meal? Is this appropriate to do if they have broken up with you? How much time needs to pass before you would reach out, regardless if you were the dumpy or the dumper? She sent some pictures. Very cute. Shelby's not here for a celeb lookalike. We kind of went over this on You Up a couple weeks ago. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I don't know the reason for the meal. What do you think?
This type of dilemma fascinates me because there is some evolutionary trait that I lack.
Mm-hmm.
And that this woman has.
Okay.
And it has to do with the relationship's over, but I still want to be friends in some way. And maybe it's a guy thing. I think there are some, I know I have guy friends that are friends with their significant other after the relationship is over, but I am too much of a Neanderthal to be able to renounce any sort of carnal desire.
Mm.
And getting dinner is just, I can't even conceive.
Do you think, and this is a theory of mine, that the only reason she wants to do this is because he shows up on her story watching page every day? Like, I'm this is a new thought. Like, this is a theory. But like, to me, there's one of those things where it's like if I have something in the fridge, if I have leftovers in the fridge, I get back from dinner, I'm like, I'm full. Throw it in the fridge. I'm not a big leftovers guy, by the way. But if I come back from a place and I put the leftovers in the fridge and I go, I'm not hungry. And then a day goes by and I go, I'm trying to be healthy. Then another day goes by and I'm like, just a little bit. And it's just because it's staring at me. If it was in the fridge, if I had just left the restaurant and thrown it away and gone, ugh, you don't want to have this ever again, just stop with it, I would never think of chicken lo mein.
Mm-hmm.
I would never think of it. And then maybe a year later, someone would go, do you like chicken lo mein? I go, oh, I had that great one at that restaurant that one time. I would go back, but it's far away. I don't really, you know, I like other food. You know, like, I like, do you think there's something to that?
100%. Yeah. The psychology of her scene. But let's pretend she's Susie Homemaker. She spends every Tuesday standing in front of the sink, washing the dishes. She's looking out at the street. And this guy who she used to date always walks by and he turns to the left and pauses for a second and looks at her through the window and then he keeps going. And like that, that connection for a second on a weekly basis or daily keeps him in her mind.
Yeah.
But if he was never there.
Yeah. And no one looks at a story watch as a negative thing.
No.
Everyone looks at someone watching their story going, yeah, they probably loved it.
Yeah.
You know, like they're interested. Like, not that they loved it, but that they're interested. No one, like, if I see someone watching my story, I don't think of them going, fuck them, swipe.
Right.
You know, the only time you think fuck them is when they unsubscribe, when they stop following you or when they mute you and you stop seeing their face.
And because they're watching, I think those embers are still a little warm, but they're not platonic embers.
It's not the same. It's not, you know, maybe they do like seeing you, but they don't want to take any effort above seeing you on stories.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at it and you go, well, they're watching. They must like me still as a friend. And it's like, not even that. There's people I watch on stories that I would never get coffee with. Are you kidding me?
You almost watch it because you're like, oh, God, I just hate this person so much.
There's people you watch because of that.
And it makes you feel a little better.
Yeah. Like, oh, God. Listen, there's all versions of watching.
Yeah.
But to me, where she's like, she says, I'm in a 4-month relationship where everything's great, but then you notice that he watches every day. And it's like, and you have all this animosity past, not anymore, she says, but when the breakup happened, it was a hurtful breakup. I don't think this dinner gets you anywhere. I think you only want to have the dinner or the interaction with an ex to see where that could go. Like, what type of friendship is this going to be? And like, what is your boyfriend going to say? Is he going to go, if you said, oh, I met up with a friend, and you go, and he goes, oh, cool. How do you know him? Well, we actually used to date in college.
And he watches my stories every day.
And yeah, if you were completely honest, and he watches my stories every day, so I reached out, and then I asked him to go to dinner. Your boyfriend would go, you reached out? Like, there's a difference between the world reconnecting you and you reconnecting it. Like, sometimes it feels like with social media, we have the ability to force the world in the direction we want it to go.
Totally.
And that's not really that healthy, I don't think.
The other thing, and this is like coming from a guy whose context is one email, but I think deep down, she still wants some sort of physical connection there.
That is very male thing where, you know, if a woman got in touch with me, I go, oh, she's still not over. Oh my God. Look what this penis did to her. You know, like, that's not fair.
No, it's not. It's not.
But it's the male carnal thing where it's like, I don't think your ex is going to get that call from you after you've been, like, he's seeing that you watch his stories too. So you guys are social media wise, you guys have decided, there hasn't been a peace treaty written, but there's an understanding of a peace treaty just because you've nicely watched each other's stories. So that's really what that means to each other.
I think the dinner, and the last thing I'll say on this topic, because we didn't talk about her new boyfriend is amazing. Yeah. So I wonder if this is her, like, oh, by the way, like, I'm over it. I have no more animosity. My new boyfriend is incredible. And I want to tell you that in person. And I want to do it.
Like, who wants that dinner?
Yeah.
I don't want to be at that fucking dinner.
I don't.
We're going to hear about your new boyfriend, how incredible he is?
Yeah. I'd rather just watch your stories.
I think if I'm her, I unfollow and I mute him from watching my stories. I don't think you're fully over it. I don't think you, what is this?
The lo mein out of the fridge.
Throw it away. Throw away the lo mein. It's time.
Yeah.
It's time. I don't know what you're getting out of this. Not the dinner. What are you getting out of the relationship right now? The story watching relationship. You're getting curiosity. Curiosity that you don't really need to have. You've already, you were curious once before and it ended.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Podcast topic. Okay, here we go. My boyfriend hasn't given me any ideas for Christmas presents. I told him I want an Apple Watch. And he's like, cool, done. So he mentioned away luggage, but also said he doesn't want me to get it because he wants to get it later when he needs it and can pick it out. Picky, I get it. So what do guys actually get excited about opening? I could get him some clothes, sure, but I at least want one wow present. After all, I did ask for an Apple Watch. Any good ideas? A little background. We've been together about 2 years. He'll be doing Christmas with my family. Thanksgiving will be at his. So I don't know if that helps in the decision-making process on what to get. But everyone else tells you their story. So there it is. Happy holidays. What do you think? I mean, we're obviously going to say Swoveralls is a great wow product. JTrain 19, get you 19% off. But, you know, you're working with a lot of... You used to work with Bloomingdale's.
Yep. Birchbox.
Birchbox.
Yeah.
What do men like to get?
Oh, man, it's tough. I mean, even personally, I feel like I'm hard to get gifts for because I never really have like a list in my head or specific things. One thing that I always kind of think about around the holiday season is these monthly subscriptions, like getting like a different cured salami every month for a year.
So I've done that for my dad.
Did he like it?
My brother and I, we do meat of the month club.
I love that.
Jerky of the month club. Yeah. I love that too because I am the same way. I don't really want for anything. Like there's nothing I'm sitting here going, man, if only Hanukkah would come quicker, I could get that one thing. I've never really lived that way. I've been spoiled my whole life. So if my parents were always like, if you need it, go get it. Like, stop, you know, whatever. So, like, gifts were never really an important thing in my life. I know some other people are different with that stuff. But I think a lot of guys are kind of that way where they're like, what do I want? I don't know.
I
love that. The monthly clubs, though, it is a nice thing. We got my dad jerky of the month. We got him pickles of the month. We got him like spreads once. We like exhausted all the monthly clubs. We've come to the end of the month club thing.
I love it. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. Right? If she wants to do something like in the experiential realm, but still kind of hit the essentials, I think brands like Bonobos can do like bring your boyfriend. We'll get him sized up, and he gets like $150 credit or whatever. Whatever.
Oh, I like that.
And he can pick out everything because he's picky, and you're with him, and everyone wins.
Yeah, so. I like that. Fitted suit, fitted, you know, that's all feels good, and then he looks nice for you too. Yeah, I've always been with, you know, newer relationships. I've always been on the side of like experience gifts because you don't have to give them back after you break up. So like, and plus you both get to do something together. So it like enhances the relationship. So I've always thought for like a newer relationship, like, you know, go skiing together, go do a dinner together. Like that's always, but where she's talking about in this relationship where she's like, I'm getting an Apple Watch. Okay. How do I, you know, stand up to an Apple Watch? I don't know. If he's a working guy, get him something. Guys like useful things too.
Yeah.
Jerky, feed me. Pickles, feed me. Monthly club, learn something new every month. Whiskey of the month, learn something new. Wine of the month, learn something new. Useful items, suit that's fitted to my body. I'm going to wear that once a week for the whole year. You know, like those, I think those are all helpful things.
Here's another idea. Get him something that he can use when he's with his friends. Example, get him a new putter. Or something that, so you're saying, hey, I know you love playing golf and you don't do it with me. Here's something that I want you to enjoy while you do that thing.
Yeah, I mean, Jess, my girlfriend got me like my luggage that I use to go away. That's like a useful gift that like,
yeah,
I love.
Every time you go to the carousel, the baggage carousel, you're thinking of Jess.
I don't check bags, but I mean, let's get real. Yeah. You're right. And then also the Betches got me, I
AirPods.
AirPods.
Nice.
AirPods. If you're going to buy some, if someone doesn't have AirPods, get them fucking AirPods. I think those are or the ones we have, they sponsor this show. If you go back through our backlogs, there's like the ones that sponsor the show are a little bit cheaper and they're just as good. I have those too. So those are great. But I think useful things for guys, that's what gets a guy going. Like, oh, I you know, and then I use it every day. You know, like that's something that guys really value. We're sponsored people. Ooh, holiday season. This is the time of year you got to get. Here's the thing. All of us are eating and drinking a little bit too much this time of year. It happens. But Noom is the perfect thing to get involved with right now. Because if you'll remember, we had the Autumn Calabrese. She gave great advice on the podcast about like how to eat during the holidays. She's like, have one plate. Like, those are the type of tips that are actionable tips that the person who tells you to do, you know, what the fuck is it called? We were talking about it before. Not on the podcast, off show.
Actionable tips?
No, the thinking eating.
Intuitive.
Intuitive eating. Intuitive, fuck yourself, intuitive eating.
Yeah, get that.
If we were intuitive, we wouldn't be fat, gross pieces of shit that we are now. So listen to me right now. I need you to get Noom because Noom knows you're not intuitive. Shut up, Siri. Noom knows you're not. I think I yelled so loud that Siri was like, are you okay? Noom knows intuitive eating bothers me so much. That's called get a psychologist. That's not the same. That's not a fitness help.
Intuitive eating is something that you just do without really giving it any thought. And so how does you just.
But I'm thinking about this every minute of every day. Yeah. So go fuck yourself, intuitive eating people. Noom knows that you need a little reminder. It knows it needs to be the nudge in your side. Mark down what you ate. Track your calories. It has the biggest calorie tracker that you could ever find on an app. It has it tells you to weigh in every morning. It's that little annoying nudge that you need to remind you that, hey, you might have ate bad last night, but it ain't going to happen again this morning. You might have done bad for Thanksgiving, but it ain't going to be this week. Yeah. You might be doing bad for Christmas, but it ain't going to be before you get there. So that's what I love about Noom. It's changing how you think about it, not in the way of someone going, well, when you're full, just stop. Shut up. Noom is going to tell you how it is. So you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial right now. Noom, Noom.com/JTrain. Noom.com/JTrain. What do you have to lose? It's a free trial. Visit Noom.com/JTrain. Take a spin around the site. Start your free trial today. That's Noom.com/JTrain. It's the last weight loss program you need. I love what they're doing. I can't recommend Noom enough. Here with Kyle Bergman. The great, fantastic. @Swoveralls_@Swoveralls_. Threesome relationship with a married couple.
Wow.
First of all, love your podcast and love your stand-up. I've been dying to have something to actually write into you about, but I've recently been dating super nice, boring Jewish men. Oy, Kavalt! Men that I've been taken with me to see you at Comedy Cellar in New York City who now love you. Checks off feathering nuts. Thank you. Love that. Anyways, to the good stuff. I recently matched with a married couple on a dating app. The guy made a profile with photos and answered prompts about the two of them. They're hot. They're looking to bring a third woman into their marriage in a meaningful way, aka not casual sex, but a relationship type of situation.
Holy shit.
I have literally never done anything like this. I'm your basic 20-something straight Jewish law student who's had her mix of serious relationships and casual hookups. Crucial details so you know how happily basic I am. For some reason, I think this would be fascinating to try out. I'm very open person. Think I'd kind of be... It'd be kind of nice to connect with people who love and respect each other. Am I off my rocker for wanting to go on a date with them? I'm trying not to get into a relationship where I know I'm only doing it for attention and security. Is this me trying to date not one but two people just for security and attention? Help. Also, would love a celeb lookalike. I mean, he's not here. She's very pretty. She's gorgeous. And she's about to get down. What do you think of the situation, Kyle? I mean, this is like a porno that I wrote.
Wow, I know. This has got to be made into a feature. This has got to be a film.
This is also like a New York thing, major city thing. This world does exist here. I'm not saying it's like a real world. I'm not saying it's like a huge world, but it is. You can find whatever you're into here.
Yeah.
What are your first thoughts? Any thoughts? Should she do it? What do you think?
The thing I find so interesting about the request from the couple is that they're looking for a meaningful relationship.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Any couple like this who's that open, they're like almost so scientific about sex and so out there about sex that it's a little, they're a little weird. Like they have no, like they're so communicative. And like, here's the thing. I've talked about this on the podcast before. The people that are into this type of sexual world where like the open relationship, they're like going to sit you down and go, so here are the rules that we've placed out. And like, that's like the normal, abnormal thing of this. They're going to place the rules in front of you. They're going to go, you can't look him in the eyes during sex, but you can look her in the eyes, but you have to pet our dog while you're fucking us. And it's like, they have this so, if they're doing this throuple thing that they're claiming that they're doing, and I would also say, you should be on guard. Like, I'm not telling you to go on a date with two people in their home. Like, you know, you have to be careful. You have to be, if you go meet them for coffee and get a vibe from them. You know, go meet them publicly. Don't just go to their apartment because they're like, well, we're having a dinner party. Then you get there and like all the severed heads are everywhere of other women they've told they want to have a meaningful relationship with. when you picked out the same thing I picked out, which is the meaningful relationship thing. That's almost, you're almost looking for the girl who's never done this before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she should definitely see a little farther how the rabbit hole, just go a little bit farther down. And let's see, get coffee.
Feel it out. Maybe coffee, stay sober. Maybe bring a friend. I don't know. Both of us are on the side of safety.
Yeah.
So I think we can confidently say that we're both like, hey, this is hot. Anything hot has its drawbacks too. There's risk to everything you do. Some things are too good to be true. She's like, look at me. I'm the basic Jewish girl, and I found these people that are going to be the most protective version of a thruple. And it's like, I don't know. You know, we'll see.
You know, she. What do you think about? Is it Kristen Stewart or Kirsten Stewart from? From Twilight, is that who she kind of looks like?
A little bit of that. A little Twilight-ish. She's cute.
Yeah. She definitely go for it. Bring a taser or something.
I would get their vibe because you might get there and go, this is a little too mathematical for me. This isn't the romantic. Because what you're gonna find with any of these things, it's always too good to be true.
Yeah.
You know, the people that push open marriages, open relationships, you meet those people, and I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm not saying there aren't happy people doing that, but I am saying it's less than the people. They get talked about more than it actually happens.
Yeah. Man, fucking New York City, man. I have a friend. Listen to this.
Yeah.
I have a friend. Yesterday, we were hanging out, and he says, I got to go to a bachelorette party. And I said, what do you mean you're going to a bachelorette party? He goes, I thought I told you this, but I pose nude for these bachelorette parties. It's like paint night. All the girls come. He stands there naked. He's really good looking. I'm sure he's good looking. And I'm like, this fucking city. I can't believe it. Potential recommendation for this girl as well. There is, I think I read this in the New Yorker. There is for all intents and purposes, a sex club in the city called Chemistry.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
And I think it's, you can't apply as a single guy. You can only apply as a couple or if you're a single female.
Well, this is the thing. This is always the case with these uber sexual things where it's like there's a lot of rules. They're going to be they're going to put their I've been tested, paperwork on the table. Like, this is, she's like, I'm the most basic. I never thought I'd be in this type of thing. And it's like, well, you're interested. You're looking at the, you're on the dating website with couples. So obviously you were thinking of this a little bit, but also you come to find out that this is like, they're speaking different languages.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's interesting. I think safety is your number one concern, but also understanding like, hey, you know, you don't know this dynamic. Sometimes just the way they wrote it isn't going to be the whole story.
Yeah, no, totally, totally.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's do one more.
Let's do it.
Here with Kyle Bergman at @Swoveralls_ on Instagram. Go follow, go support JTrain19. Get that free money, people. Okay? Get involved right now. Get that free money.
Swovies.
That's right. Please help decode this man's intentions. You ready?
I'm ready.
I went to college with this guy. I actually dated his roommate for a little bit years ago, but it's not important. Well, that's kind of important. I went to college with this guy, actually dated his roommate for a little bit years ago, but that's not important. We turned out to be good friends since we now both work for the same company. We're 26. Last year, we were both going through breakups at the same time. This brought us even closer. We started chatting every day. We eventually turned sexual. At the time, September 2018, both of us were fresh out of a relationship, not looking for anything serious. We hooked up a few times. That fizzled for a while. But then we started talking again, which is when I really started to catch feelings for this guy and knew that. And he knew that. He made it seem like he was catching feelings too. In May, we both attended another coworker's wedding. We spent the wedding hanging out, being fun and slightly flirty. I maybe got a little too tipsy, but nothing happened at the actual wedding. I ordered my own Uber to go home, but then he offered for his brother to drop me off since he was picking him up. In the car on the way home, we made out with his brother in the front. In the car on the way home, we made out and got a little handsy. Yes, with his brother in the car.
Yeah.
Once we got to my place, he offered to help me bring a vase of flowers in that was given to me from the wedding. We made out again inside, but left since his brother was waiting for him outside. 10 minutes after he left my house, he texted my best friend asking if another girl in our friend group was single.
Oh.
Uh-oh. He continues to reach out to me and text me random things after I called him out on this after the wedding. He knows that I don't really trust him, and he's told me that he screwed up, even though he probably never would have dated me. See attached screenshots. You ready? We'll read the screenshots. She wrote, wait, what? Nothing. I get it. You want to be friends, coworkers. I respect that and can handle that. She wrote, okay, but are you wanting something different is my question then. You said something along the lines of
wasn't into dating at the time,
but definitely had potential. Not saying I want anything right now, but that confuses me. Yeah, and then he writes, yeah, it did have potential. I just fucked that up. Shocker. I get that. I'm there too. Not at a getting hitch phase point in my life, LOL. Just got to say, I still think you're hot as fuck and just can't help but think you're about our prior good times.
Wow, what a fucking...
I get what happened.
Yeah.
So then he wrote to her on Snapchat. He switched it. He went from text to snap. And she took a picture of the snap. I liked you. We had fun together, like a lot of fun. And then he writes smirky face fire emoji. I'm not sure if it was quite to a dating point at the time, but it had potential. So interpret that however you want. Ha ha.
You know,
I should also mention he initiates every conversation that we have at work. My questions are, what gives? Why does this guy continue to reach out to me and try to mend things? We are not friends. This has turned sexual, as you always say. So what's he trying to do? Not throw away leftovers? Sorry for the long email, but this guy really messed with my head since. Oh, shit. Also, one other question. Is it worth talking to him about why he's doing this, or is it a lost cause that I'll never have answers for? What do you think?
Well, I love... In the screenshot of the text convo, his initials are BS. Because I think this
bullshit.
Guy is just, yeah, this guy is just a bunch of bullshit.
So
fuck this guy.
To kind of go back through it, they hooked up. They go to this wedding. They make out at the wedding in his brother's car. Then after he texts her friend, after they make out, she texts her friend that he's interested in another girl in the group.
10 minutes after.
And now he keeps texting and saying that they had potential.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, he's all self-deprecating. I fucked up. Shocker. Like, yeah, I'm such a...
That's me. Oh, fuck up again.
Yeah, but you're so hot. Like, and I'll always going to talk to you at work.
So he's doing the thing that a lot of guys do. Where they'll be like, no, I'm a loser. I'm an idiot. You know, it's me. This is what I do. I always fuck things up. He's trying to make himself like a more broad character in a movie that you would maybe attach onto. So he's like, he's trying to write a script about him that you'll believe. So the script about him is that, oh, he's just this fuck up that, you know, shot himself in the foot again. But that's not what happened. He knowingly hooked up with you. He wants to keep casually hooking up with you whenever you'll be down for it, whenever he's lonely. But he also wants to reach out and see if he could do better than you. Not to say that you're not great. Where I'm saying in his mind, he's using you as a back, like as kind of a net to fall into if the other things don't work out.
There are excerpts from this email and screenshot that you could just copy and paste into the Urban Dictionary definition of a fuckboy. That's exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, because everything he's doing, and listen, I don't think he's like, I don't think it's as maniacal as we're making it. I don't think he's like plotting as much as, but looking back, like, listen, I've done similar things. Looking back at in the rearview mirror of my life, he's confused. He knows that you like him. He knows. And the other thing is, to let him off the hook a little bit, he knows you're a good-looking, great girl. So he's like trying to sit there not losing a good-looking, great girl while also trying to fuck other people.
Yeah.
So that's your answer. I don't think reaching out to him is going to give you any answers. His answers are all going to be complimentary but vague. You're great. I think you're amazing. You're so hot. We have so much fun when we hook up. I don't know where my life is going. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm so busy. Get it? Complimentary and vague.
Yeah. Maybe here's a suggestion. Depending on the physical attractiveness of his brother, you should text him and say, hey, can I get your brother's number?
Hey.
The Uber driver, just also known as your brother.
Just change up the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, just really, really stir the pot.
Hey, I've been thinking a lot. That ride was so hot. I think it was because I was watching your brother while you were fucking touching my tit. <It's> like,
yeah.
Started getting hard nipples the other day. I think it's from your brother.
Yeah.
Kyle, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man.
At Swoveralls _ Swoveralls.com. JTrain19 is the promo code. Kyle Bergman, thank you for coming on. I'm Jared Freed. We're every Tuesday and Friday. We'll be back next episode. Boom.